Well, welcome to you all this Christmas Eve as we gather to worship Christ, to remember what God has done for us in and through the Lord Jesus. I want to extend a warm welcome to you all, but especially to anybody who may be here in Hope Church for the very first time. We're delighted to have you with us and pray that you will be deeply blessed as we gather together to worship. With this wonderful weather that we're having, it's almost a perfect Christmas Eve. All we're missing is that white stuff that falls down, and then for some of us it would just feel perfect. But we're almost there. But I do really love tonight and pray that you'll also be blessed as we worship God tonight. Before we come to our opening songs, we're going to light our last Advent candle. The tradition of these candles as we go through the weeks of Advent is very simple. It helps to cultivate that sense of our hearts drawing near to what God is doing as He drew near to this earth in that first Christmas. I'm going to ask John and Elaine Hadley and some of their family that are with them to come and to read and light the candle and pray with us too, if you will.
If you have been raised in the church, then the verse that I'm going to give you is one that you were raised with very young. This is the second verse I ever learned as a kid. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. The last candle we light, I'll try not to write it, I'll light it, and it's the Christ candle. That's what Christmas is all about. The scripture tells us, because He gave His one and only Son. That was part of John 3:16. He gave His one and only Son because He loved people whom He created. We are His creation. And I trust you have responded to His invitation. See, if you look at us, we're struggling, confused, depressed at times, striving, sinful. Yet Scripture tells us God loves us. 1 John, 4th chapter, verse 8 through 10. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the expiation or the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Let's have a word of prayer together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You that we're part of Your creation. Your Scripture speaks to our whole of life and our living. We thank You that You gave David the great psalm that we're familiar with in 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And everybody said, Amen.
Thank you so much. Well, we're going to worship God now in our opening couple of songs as we praise God and we begin with this theme of peace. There are many amazing themes we could dwell on over the Christmas period, and peace is certainly one of them because it's the reality of what Christ offers to us. So I'm going to ask you to stand, lift up your hearts, lift up your voices, and praise God from the very heart of your soul. Let's worship Him.
Let there be peace, peace to every nation. Let there be hope for all the world to see. Let there be love and joy to all the children. Let there be peace on earth for you. Crying, no more wars for fighting. Every mother's child would have enough to eat. So when I get down on my knees to pray, I ask the Lord above to light the way. And let there be peace, peace to every nation. Let there be hope for all the world to see. Let there be love.
Let earth receive it.
Please take a seat for a moment before we go into our next medley of Christmas carols, as to take a moment to read God's word. And we're going to read tonight from Luke's account. Two of the four Gospels record something of the birth of Jesus. And we're going to read tonight in Luke chapter 1. And how he records something about the run-up to the birth of Christ. And we're going to focus, actually, there's two births, really, in this narrative, and we're going to focus on the first one. This is the birth of Jesus' cousin, who's called John, grew up to be John the Baptist. And we're going to think for a moment a little bit about his birth as well. So Luke chapter 1, and we'll read from the beginning of Luke's Gospel. Let's hear the word of God. And in this first few verses, Luke is basically giving us an introduction. He's a historian. He wants us to have confidence in what he is writing. And then he tells us about John the Baptist's birth being foretold. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those from whom who were the first eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. So in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. And his wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless, because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord, it's in Jerusalem, and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." This is God's word. We pray that these words will be used by God himself to kind of draw us back to that very first Christmas, to where all these great events occurred, so that the power, the reality of them will impact our hearts and our lives, even as we go on into this coming new year. May God bless his word to us. Now we're going to sing again to God's praise as a collection of well-loved carols, from "Go Tell It on the Mountain" to "Angels We Have Heard on High." We probably won't sing all the verses of every one of them, but enough to give us a flavor of the power of Christmas. So I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet, to raise your voices, and to worship God with all you've got. Amen.
Glory to the newborn King.
angels from the realms of glory.
And just want to take a moment or two of your time to just to dwell upon what Christmas can really mean for each one of us. These words up there, they're not actually about Jesus. They're about his cousin, John the Baptist. Two births, two very incredible births, and one can teach us something of the other. It's natural enough in life for parents to pin so much of our hopes on our kids. Of course, too many expectations or trying to live our lives through them, not a good idea, is it? But for others, the idea of having children itself is a painful thought because they may never have been able to have them. And that's the kind of couple that we come to in Luke's gospel, right at the beginning in the opener, chapter 1, Zechariah and his wife. Old at this stage, long years that they had hoped for a child, nothing had happened. But an angel appears. Zechariah is leading the worship in the temple of God in Jerusalem. So Luke records us two miraculous births being foretold here, John the Baptist and then his cousin Jesus. He gives us two responses. Zechariah's one, which was basically really unbelief. He couldn't believe the good news. And then Mary, the mother of Jesus, who also asked the question, how can this be? But with no unbelief, just more wanting to understand more. And both of these births brought joy and delight, as we put it here, for John's birth. Joy and delight, maybe two things that are a little bit in short supply these days in people's lives. It's maybe one of the reasons that we'll bring you out on Christmas Eve to a service like this, because deep down, we want these things. We sing about these things. And as you sing them, don't you really long for them? You want things like joy, delight, peace to be real and something you can touch on. And so I wanted to understand what Christmas is about by looking actually at the birth of John himself, because he teaches us something about Christ. Perhaps tonight after the service together here, you may be going out for a meal as a family. And just for a moment, indulge me if you aren't, just imagine it, that you're out in a restaurant and the entree comes and you look at it and it's just amazing. It's just like this sense explosion coming your way, that the sight of it alone, the smell of the food, the texture, the taste, and you're going, this is amazing, just fantastic. And that's just the starter. And you haven't even got to the main course, and you're thinking, well, if the restaurant can produce that kind of food for the entree, what's the main course going to be like? That's how you got to think of John the Baptist's birth and Jesus. John the Baptist is not the main course. He was just the entree. And yet, even though he's just the starter, he's described in terms of one whose coming would bring joy and delight to multitudes of people. And so as you read that, you've got to think, well, if he, the entree, could do that, how much more the Christ that he came to prepare the way for? We're told several things in the reading that we had about John's birth. It tells us in verse 15 that he would be a man of greatness, great before the Lord in particular. That's the vertical relationship in life. And there's really no higher standard of what defines a good life than that vertical dimension, your relationship with God. And who doesn't need to be declared good in that relationship? We all do. Tells us that he wasn't allowed to drink wine. And that had a bit of history to it. It was a special way of setting some people apart, called the Nazarite vow in the Old Testament. It was simply about dedication. When John would be born, for his whole life, he would be in a very unique way dedicated, set apart, viewed as holy to what God wanted to do with his life. Who among us has a life as dedicated like that? It's also been described that when he would be born, he'd be filled with the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. Greatness, dedication, the power of the Spirit of God would move in him. And that happened in his life. And yet, when you come to Jesus, he was described as a power without measure. John wasn't known for doing miracles, but Jesus was. John was preparing the way for the power that would come in Jesus Christ. And the last thing it tells us in the reading about John was that he would turn the hearts of many people back to God, turn the hearts of parents to their children, the disobedient to the path of wisdom. He was a preparer. He was literally preparing the people for this momentous moment in human history 2,000 years ago. You might often wonder, where is God in this world? You may often ask these questions. We get that. But 2,000 years ago in history, something momentous really happened. And it was so big, it had to be prepared by someone as special as John the Baptist. You see, he called the people to change their ways, just to change the way they lived, and to have a heightened awareness of God. And it was all steps towards something more, to the someone more. You see, when God works in our lives, there's usually steps of preparation before you meet him personally. So what we have tonight is the main course, Christ himself. That's what Christmas is all about. He's an offer. He's free. All that he has done, all that he will do, and what he can do in your life today, it's a free offer to know this Christ and to follow this Christ. But in order to live life with him, in order to make that turning point towards him, it can take some preparation. Might not just happen. And so God works in our lives in different ways. And so John had to turn the people's hearts to the wisdom of the wise, to take the disobedient and the kids who had fallen out with their parents and prepare them. There's things in your life that God has also done. Maybe he's given you a similar moral education to what John was giving to the people, trying to make them decent, preparing them for the Lord. Maybe you know the difference between right and wrong. Maybe you even say your prayers quietly at night, whether you go to church or anything else. But there's still something more. That's why God has brought you here tonight. See, John's role was about preparing for Christ, for his coming, to make the people more sensitive, more open to when Christ would actually appear, so that they could receive him. John was the entree, Christ the main course. And that is what God has intended with your life, your morality, your integrity, all the good things that you may have in your life. These are qualities that are ultimately sourced in God himself. But each one is like a cord between you and your Creator, and is there to draw you closer to him, as you realize this is the right way to live your life. That's the wrong way to live your life. Now, we quite often take our sense of goodness and morality and think that's enough, but that would be a mistake, because there's lots within each one of us, a sin within each one of us, a darkness within each one of us that needs to be wiped out. And that's what you get only in Christ, bleeding, dying for our sin and our salvation. But all of these good qualities in us, these gifts, these abilities, the morality, our education, all of that, God can use them like ropes to draw us, like multiple ropes, as you draw a boat into a harbor so it lines up with the edge of the harbor. They're not the main thing, but they can be used to draw us and prepare us for what God wants to give us in Jesus Christ. They're not the destination. And don't mistake them for the destination. But they're part of the journey towards that. So look at your life and see that God will be revealing himself to you, maybe the way you've been brought up, your sense of right and wrong, seeing relationships restored in your life. And you can look at all of these things as individual pieces, and it's hard to make and see the bigger picture. Because life is a bit like a jigsaw box. Lots of pieces. Sometimes it's hard to fit them all together. And it wasn't the birth of John that would allow the people to fit all the pieces together. It was the birth of Jesus. But if the birth of John could bring joy and delight, how much more the birth of Jesus? Because when the people met Jesus, finally they could see the picture on the box. When you meet Jesus and you come to follow him, you will discover the ability to put all the pieces in your life together and begin to see a pattern, a shape, a picture emerging. As you see him, as you come to understand him, why he came, why he had to die, what his resurrection means, what he's calling you to do and to be for him in this life now, then all of these things begin to coalesce and your life will begin to make sense. You'll begin to see the picture on the box. So if John, the entree, was this good, and he could bring joy and delight, the joy and the delight that Christ brings is infinitely deeper, stronger, sweeter. And that's why you must make a decision at some point in your life to follow this Christ. And then this eve of Christmas, this would be a beautiful night to make that decision. It would allow you to waken up to the gift of a new life on Christmas Day tomorrow. It would include all these pieces, but this time fitted together, copying the picture on the jigsaw box, so that finally your life would make sense to you. John brought joy and delight. Jesus brings more. John's dad, Zechariah, couldn't believe this news. Too good to be true. And he had to be rebuked by the very angel that shared it with him for his unbelief. Don't this Christmas be filled with unbelief. Let these songs, let even the lighting in a moment of the candles, which are so powerfully symbolic, as we take one light from the Christ candle and it spreads through the whole of the congregation, let that speak to you tonight of the love of God in Christ for you that has done everything necessary to make you right in God's sight for eternity, so that you might live with him, if you like, in a perpetual Christmas, in something that Christmas is the echo, but he has the fulfillment of. It's here tonight. He is freely available. Christ is simply a prayer away. Amen. Amen. Let's pray, and then we'll sing again. Lord, we thank you that the birth of children brings such joy. We thank you that John's birth brought such joy, and your birth brought even greater joy. And Lord, we pray that this Christmas, that the Holy Child of Bethlehem descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us this day. Lord Jesus Christ, don't let another Christmas Eve pass us by. When our hearts sense your voice and your nearness and your presence, but another year will come when you'll be just left on the edge. Lord Jesus Christ, be born in us today. Amen. We're going to sing, or we're going to join. Are we going to join in? We are going to join in. Good. The next song, O Holy Night, as we just meditate in these songs upon what Christ is offering us right now. Let's stand and sing.
The stars are brightly shining, it is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voice.
Praise God. Please remain standing as we're going to go into our final song in a moment. But as we do so, we take the symbolism of the light of the world, which is in Christ. So if you have your candles ready, Bill, I'm going to ask you to come up and take the first light. And we'll dim the lights as we take this moment to reflect on what light does for us in our lives. Bill? If you would light and Let me read a few things as the flame spreads through the congregation, and then we'll join in silent night. So we take this light of Christ and have it shared in our own hearts and in our own lives. We do so to spread his light to other people. Sometimes at night, when I am afraid, I cover my eyes, cover my shame. So here in the dark, broken apart, come with your light and fill up my heart. O great light of the world, fill up my soul. I'm half a man here, so come make me whole. O great light of the world, come to impart the light of your grace to fill up my heart. The wind of this world can push us around, folding us up, backing us down. But here in the dark, I'm not alone. So come with your strength and carry me home. Let's join together in these words of silent night.
Yeah.
eyes for a moment before we leave and let's pray. Our gracious, loving Father, what a gift you have given to us, that you would give us your only begotten Son, the only way to light your light of love eternally in each of our hearts. And Lord, though we may blow this physical light out in a moment and walk out into the cold and into the darkness, we praise you for the beauty and the power of the light of Jesus Christ, that light can never be put out in a heart that trusts in him. And so, Lord, we thank you that we carry the Christmas light with us into 2023 and beyond, that your light will shine on every path and in every dark corner. And so, Lord, we pray that your light would now shine deeply in our hearts and in our souls, that you would ignite it even for the very first time in a heart here tonight, that they may have the greatest gift that Christmas could ever give. And so now may your light lead us into the future. And so we pray that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would rest and abide upon each one of us and all whom we love, now and forevermore. And the people of the Lord said, Amen. Merry Christmas to you one and all.